Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for joining us on this Thursday session of Abounding Grace. And if you've been with us in Romans chapter 6 this week, you know it's been a very exciting study. And we've looked at how and what and everything that Christ has done for us to free us from the old man, to set us free. And I said yesterday, you know, the Christian life is never some quick formula. You know, we live in a day and age where everything has to be fast in the here and now. It's never some quick steps. It's never some new laws to make us happy. The real key or the real answer is to understand what Christ has already done for you and that such deliverance brings freedom from the things that you were once in bondage to, so that now in freedom, you don't have to be in bondage to those things. This is what Paul says in verse 11 of Romans chapter 6. After 10 verses of describing what Christ has done with all these aorist tenses, saying, look, it's past. He did this when you didn't ask for it. He did this. You died to sin. You were baptized in him. You've been raised. All these things. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's saying, look, act upon what's already true. You understand this? God never says to the Christian, do this or else. We often think when we sin, he's just violently angry in the sky at his children. We are his children if you're a Christian. He's loved you with an enduring love and giving his son for you. He says, do this because of what is already true of you. Your old man is dead. I've crucified him in my son. The things to which you were once slaves, I've broken. And so now before my throne room, you are totally acquitted, totally justified, washed, your sins are paid for, reconciled to me, loved, but you are loved by me. Your old man is gone. You are now free. And so this is the key that so few seem to get. Believe these things. Believe God at his word that he's done this for you, and now act upon what is true of you. You hear what he's saying? Learn to consider, learn to reckon. Logizomai, it means to reckon or consider. Think of yourselves as a matter of fact. Think of yourselves as being dead to sin, because that's how I've reckoned you in justification in my son. See, that's the greatest freedom the Lord could have ever given to a struggling sinner. I love what Martin Lloyd-Jones says. This does not mean, now listen to this, this does not mean it's my duty to die to sin. The text here has nothing to do with duty. It's concerned with fact. It's not a command for me to die to sin. How can I be told to do what has already been done? Paul is saying, because we have died to sin, we now have to count on it ourselves. He's telling us do what? Believe, which is always, Christianity is always a message to be believed. Believe in what God actually did for you when he nailed his son to the cross. That's the most difficult thing. It comes down not to works, but to faith. We either believe God or not. And if we do, he's saying, think of yourselves, Christians, as I already do of you because of Christ. That's quite a different reason to live this life with joy, isn't it? The Lord says, I've loved you, forgiven you, reconciled you, killed your old man. Now, because all that's done, you consider yourself what I already consider of you. That, my friends, makes life worth living. To think I never have to worry about falling in and out of acceptance with God. He reconciled, he freed me when I was still an enemy, Romans 5. And now he is my father and calls me to believe and to live that reality that he's provided for me in the power of Christ, his son, resurrection. So now, not only am I to reckon myself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. We're new creatures. The old has passed away. So for the first time, he tells us what to do. Two things, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in your lusts. Everyone knows how sin works. We say you are what you think. The person entertaining a lust begins to act on it, and so we can take the common ones, food addictions, sexual sins, all sorts of addictions. The sinner takes the good gift and indulges in it beyond God's design. We then go further and beyond that what it was intended to be in order to fuel the lusts of the flesh. Now the person unregenerate, the old man, begins to grow hardened in it. And the more excessive, the more it controls him, more and more and more, so that they can't get out, as the master slowly leads that person to death in that slavery. The body of sin is controlled, is leading that person to death. Paul says, look, Christians, you're free. You have a freedom not to let sin reign. You're free with regard to this enemy holding you in custody, bondage to your sin, and the old man is over. And so now set yourself to not let it reign in the body, because you've a new principle of life planted in you that makes it totally inconsistent to have sin reigning in you. Second, he says, verse 13, do not present your members literally as tools of unrighteousness, but present yourselves, your whole being is alive from the dead, and your members as tools of righteousness to God. So we see here that Paul's focus is on the sins of the body. And the fact, he says, is that we can use the different parts of our bodies as tools, literally, of unrighteousness. And we know this. Our mouths, our tongues are worlds of iniquity. A little gossip can wreck a whole church. Our ears, what we hear, our eyes, what we see, our stomachs, what we fill, our minds, what we watch and think about, and even our makeup, specifically appropriate to men and women, belong only to the marriage relationship. Paul says, since you're free, since I've done this for you in Christ, the Lord says, do not present any of your members as tools of unrighteousness, but instead, since you're free, use them for the glory of God. Why? Because this is the great reality. You're not under law, but you're under grace. You're not under law to bear fruits to death. Remember, the law stirs up sin in us to bring forth death. He says, you're free. You're under grace. Sin's dominion has been broken in Christ. And that's the reality for the Christian. Let me close with this today. One of the greatest works on this issue ever done was John Owen, The Mortification of Sin in the Life of the Believer. And mortification's the big word for killing sin in your life. Owen knew this has huge practical implications for the life of the believer. And I'm going to close with these today, very practical for you. In his book, he gives an example of something he experienced in the ministry. He describes it this way. Suppose a man is a true believer and yet finds in himself a powerful indwelling sin, leading him captive to the law of it, consuming his heart with trouble, perplexing his thoughts, weakening his soul so that he has no communion with God, having no peace, and perhaps defiling his conscience, exposing him to hardening through the deceitfulness of sin. What shall he do? What course of action shall he take to insist on for the mortification of the sin in his life, so that he may be enabled to keep up power, strength, and peace in communion with God? So he says, look, sin in our lives, the very first thing it will do is cause doubt. And what happens when I have this powerful sin I can't seem to beat? You begin to doubt your whole Christianity, right? Owen says, here's some very practical ways to overcome it. I'm going to give you a few of them today. First, he says, you should consider what are the symptoms of the particular sin in your life. If the symptoms of sin are great, the sin has resided in the heart for a long period of time, he says an extraordinary course of action will be needed. You know, there are a lot of people who say they hate their sin, they can't believe they continue to do the same thing, and they can't stop it, but they haven't done anything to deal with it. They set themselves in the same temptation and the same situation, and then they wonder why they can't get out. Sin is like a root that springs up in all of us. And if that root, which is planted by sin, is given in its proper environment, in the proper settings, and the proper watering, it will grow. So Owen says, secondly, when the first signs of it begin in the heart, the first sign of that sin, the lustful glance, whatever, you must set yourself to not give it the least ground. If sin is given one step, it always takes another. And so third, he says, you must have a clear and abiding sense in your mind of the danger of the sin that's still left unkilled in you. Sin is aggravated and heightened by neglect of addressing it. Most of the time, we refuse even to see it. You must admit it, address it in repentance, and turn. How do you do that? He says, well, the conscience must be overloaded with the guilt of the sin. That's accomplished by bringing the sin into the light of God's law so that the sin is discovered. The law has the commission from God to seize upon the transgression wherever it finds it and bring it before his throne to plead for deliverance. And so at that point, we bring the sin to the gospel, right? In order that the believer might look upon the pierced Savior in prayer, that sin might be truly seen in the light of God's holiness, grace, and love in Christ's sacrifice for it. Finally, he says, having been convicted by the law and the gospel, you should long for deliverance. There should not be a moment in which the heart does not long to be freed from the sin. The desire for deliverance is grace itself, he says. And with such a desire, the killing of sin cannot be achieved. And that is by constantly trusting in Christ. That's the point we're after. You are free with this kind of power in the Spirit. Christianity is not about a bunch of list of rules. It's about a new life of freedom in Christ. And today Jesus says to you, I love you so much. If you're a believer in him, I love you so much that I appeared at the end of the ages to give you a death to sin in my death and to free you from sin's bondage. May that knowledge today of the truth of the gospel comfort you to know that you are a child and are free to live now to God in righteousness before him. That's what the gospel brings. That's the freedom that you have by right. And may you go forth in joy knowing that your only basis of freedom is Christ. And what he did was truly effectual to free you from slavery, to now come under his yoke, which is light and freeing, so that the truth has indeed set you free.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us, 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.